What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the podcast. I am your host today, Bruce. We have a special episode with Sean. He's from Madison Avenue Pizza Company down in Clearwater area in Florida. And he runs a pizzeria, now a restaurant and bar. And we talk about how he went from really starting off with the minimal amount of money you possibly can, starting a pizzeria, working all the hours, and then transitioning to now he has a pretty good thriving business. But it's taken a while. He started in 2017, and now he has a full restaurant, 150 seats, full bar, pizzeria, delivers to the ocean, to boats out in the ocean. And he's come a long way. And it's been fun to talk and see his journey along the way. So Sean's joining us. Great pizza. He also talks about a couple marketing tactics that he uses that are free marketing tactics, like things that he does inside of his pizzeria to kind of get the word out and make people want to share things. We talk about a special pizza that he has and just about how he got started and what it's been like over the last few years. Good episode. I think you're going to enjoy it. Before we get into today's episode, I do have to say thank you so much to today's sponsor of the podcast, Restaurant Systems Pro, smartpizzamarketing.com/RSP. If you want to get your restaurant on the right track, accounting, food costs, employee management, all of that stuff, Restaurant Systems Pro can help you out. And they also have these cool mastery programs where for $97, you can join the live event. They give you a month or two free for their system to help you save money right off the bat. And then you can sign up for their program. Great program. A lot of restaurants using them. It helps really independent restaurants become like a franchise without having to pay the franchise and go through that process of being a franchise. You get to run your restaurant like a franchise, but be independent. smartpizzamarketing.com/restaurant systems pro. There's also a link on our homepage of our website. If you want to go click on that, it'll bring you right to the right page. Also, Fiero Group. My friends over at the Fiero Group, I saw a video on Instagram the other day of somebody who was one of our audience members who had an Opera Prima. And the Opera Prima is from Fiero Group, and it's one of these machines that pounds out the dough for you. And it does it in a different way. It's not a press, and it's not a one of those sheeters. It's an amazing machine. I saw it at the Pizza Summit down in Orlando last year, and I saw them take a different size dough ball, a 10-inch dough ball, a 12-inch dough ball, and then a really large dough ball for a large pizza, press it out. It doesn't do the entire thing for you, but it gets you going in the right direction, and it saves a ton of time. So check it out. FieroGroup.com is their website. They also have great ovens, great mixers, everything you need to run your pizzeria. They have over there, and they are great people. And whether you're interested in it for your business or your house, they can help you out. FieroGroup.com. And lastly, SPM Magazine is launching next week. I got the final copy back from the designer. It's looking pretty amazing. I did a video over on YouTube kind of going over the process, so go check that out on our YouTube channel, Smart Pizza Marketing. But it's out, and I'm super pumped, and I'm super excited to share this magazine with you and have you be a part of the community. And if there's anybody out there who wants to advertise in the magazine, we're open to it. We would love to have advertisers in there. It's relatively inexpensive. The only thing we're looking at this magazine-wise financially is to pay for itself. We're not looking to make money on it. It's not our business model. So our advertising rates are relatively inexpensive. You're just helping out the pizza community by advertising in this magazine. So it's super helpful. Thank you so much to everybody who already advertised. And I'm very excited for you who are listening to this podcast to actually see the magazine when it comes out next week. But that's it for now. Let's get into the episode with Sean. Thank you so much. We'll see you on the other side. Sean, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for hanging out with me today.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me on.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. We met at the Pizza Tomorrow Summit, I believe, for the first time, like in person in Orlando a couple months ago. So it was good to see you and give everybody a brief background of like what you do, where you do it, and a little bit about your business.
I own Madison Avenue Pizza. It's in Dunedin, Florida. It's the city just north of Clearwater, so in the Tampa Bay area. I've been doing it I've been in the restaurant industry literally my entire life, but my wife and I have had this restaurant for almost 7 years now. And I'm a chef owner. I mean, I spend a lot of time in the kitchen, a lot of time, you know, working with the guys. It's my favorite part about the job by far. I love marketing too. I love the aspects of growing a business. I love to come up with creative ideas to market ourselves, and I like to have fun with it too, for sure.
Is your pizzeria like a dine-in restaurant, or is it more takeout delivery?
No, it's like 50-50. We started off as like almost all takeout delivery. We had like five bar stools and a couple tables, but you know, we had this explosive growth. So a couple years ago, we took over the unit next to us, knocked the wall down, built a full bar. You know, we have a, you know, large, you know, it's 150 seat dining room. So now we're kind of split. I mean, the dining room is busy. I mean, we stay busy, but we still do a lot of to-go and delivery. So my challenge every Friday and Saturday and some weekdays too, is to figure out how to, you know, manage it all. Cause you know, we're doing a lot of delivery and to-go, you know, but we're also managing a lot of dine-in, and they're just different. You know, they have different needs, different speeds of service. So it's a lot sometimes.
Which one do you prefer?
I mean, dine-in is more fun for me because I get to really connect with our guests. Like, you know, to-go and delivery is, you know, is faceless sometimes. You know, sometimes people order to-go and delivery from us and they've never even been to the restaurant, you know. Where dine-in, you really get to connect with people. You can talk about your food. You can talk about the restaurant. You can, you know, find out what they like. You know, you can customize their experience more, for sure.
Yeah. It's funny too, because like that's the great part about dine-in versus delivery. And like the bad part is like, if you're a little bit behind, those people are sitting in your dining room, staring at you, wondering where their food is. And 1 minute feels like five when they're in there. Whereas delivery, it's like kind of out of sight, out of mind. And as long as you tell them it's going to be there 45, 50 minutes, they're kind of okay with it.
Yeah, for sure. And that's, you know, that was our growing pains. When we went from 20 seats in the dining room to 150 and a full bar and everything, you know, we had to really learn how to manage that, especially on a busy night. Like, you know, we'll push quote times for to-go and delivery all the way up, you know, and we'll just focus on dine-in, you know, especially if we get a big dine-in rush. Cause, you know, like you said, man, nobody's going to sit in the dining room and wait 45 minutes for a large pizza, you know? Right. So you really have to be cognizant of that, but we've gotten a lot better at it over the past couple of years, for sure.
Is it just a learning process that you had, or like that you learned, and it's just like something that you had to go through and figure out your own system for it?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. There's no like rule book to it, man. And, you know, a lot of it is like the intuitive prediction. Like you gotta raise quote times before you're in the weeds, you know? And so timing that change is crucial. You know, you got to catch it at right, just the right time. But you know, we've dialed that in pretty well now.
Yeah. Well, so you have a pretty simple menu. I was looking at your menu in your website before we got on here, and, you know, I always talk about on the podcast, not having a gigantic menu, because the bigger your menu is, the harder it is to kind of manage it all and find people and train them. And your menu is pretty, it's good size, but it's not large by any means.
No, it's mostly pizza. I mean, we are pizza focused. That's our bread and butter. You know, I consider Stromboli's and calzones pizza, you know what I mean?
Same ingredients, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we do a few subs, a few salads, obviously wings and mozzarella sticks and stuff. But, you know, the most important thing to me is food quality. And one of the most important things to me is that we make everything in-house. We make everything in-house. Bread, sauces, ranch, mozzarella sticks, everything. So if you have too big of a menu, there's no.
Yeah. And then it's like training someone new to come in and do, you know, learn the process of making 100 different menu items is overwhelming. And you end up not really being great at anything.
Exactly. And you end up, you know, how are you going to turn that inventory? You know, if you have 50 dinners and 20 different pizzas and all these appetizers and stuff, like how are you turning that inventory? Unless you're some like the Cheesecake Factory that's just
right
to the gills every night, you know. I mean, it's, you know, you got to keep things fresh. You know, we don't freeze anything. We have like one freezer that's tiny with just a couple gluten-free pizzas and some basic stuff. I mean, we make our own french fries and everything, so nothing's frozen, really? Everything's fresh. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, definitely. So freshness is key to me, I think, and to most customers too. So
it separates you too. It separates you. Like, what if you just bought your, and this is no knock on like Sysco or Performance Food Group or anything, but if you buy your french fries and you buy your mozzarella sticks and chicken fingers, like so is everybody else around you. So what makes you, how do you make it different? It can't be the product because everybody's buying the same product. It's literally just the price and the pricing of that menu.
Yeah. I mean, you could go to Restaurant Depot and buy a case of mozzarella sticks and French fries. And at that point, you're just reheating them. I mean, there's not really. And, you know, hey, man, I don't mean to like not anybody. I mean, I understand that there's different business models and stuff like that for sure.
Definitely.
For us.
Yeah. Sometimes people just want to like, you're just kind of cooking a meal for somebody. You're not really like cooking it from scratch, but someone needs to go to a place to get some food heated up. And that's what you did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not you, but like,
I don't want to come off like I'm knocking any, I mean, I respect anybody that has the stamina to stay in this game. But yeah, I mean, just for us personally, I like to make everything. I'm just obsessive about challenges, and making everything in house is like the biggest challenge that I wanted to take on.
Where did you learn how to make pizza?
Man, when I was a kid, dude, I was my parents owned a breakfast restaurant, and I was washing dishes there when I was in middle school. And then when I got into high school, I started working at this little pizzeria by our house. I was like 14, you know, rolling dough balls and, you know, washing dishes.
Where was that? Was that down
in
Florida?
Yeah, it was in Largo. It's this little hole in the wall. It's still there. Just a little neighborhood pizza shop, man. And, you know, I was the busboy, dishwasher, prep guy, like, you know, just wherever they needed me, man. And, you know, I just kind of learned it there. And then, you know, I went to management, you know, and worked in the front of the house for a while as a GM. And then, you know, decided to get, when my wife and I wanted to open a business, I looked at, okay, what do I love doing? What do I know how to do? You know, what do I have fun with? And pizza just, you know, was it for sure.
Yeah. When did you open your business?
It was September 2017. So
not too long ago.
Yeah.
I mean, 2017 feels like 1 year ago, even though it's 7 years ago.
I know. I was just looking at a picture of my kid. My kids were born right before we opened the restaurant. I was looking at a picture of my kids from March 2017. And then I was looking at them, you know, and comparing the two pictures, and it's crazy. But yeah, it's, you know, it's almost 7 years or so.
That's great. And when you opened, were you just pizza?
Yeah. We didn't even have a liquor license or beer or anything, man. We were just basically a takeout shop. And I used, you know, that time to kind of figure out what I was doing. I mean, I knew how to run a restaurant. I knew how to cook. I knew how to do all that, but I didn't know how to be an owner. Parents owned a restaurant, a little restaurant growing up. So I understood a little bit, but it's different when you're doing it, you know? So I had to figure out how to be an owner, man, how to, you know, manage a budget and hire and, you know, staff and, you know, all the things that go along with it. Insurance, taxes.
The budget. Yeah. The budget, insurance, taxes, accounting, like I think that's the biggest wake up call for anybody who goes from a manager to a owner. Because like when you're a manager, you're still kind of in charge of hiring and training, right? And you're still in charge of inventory. But it's not your money. Like it doesn't come out of your bank account at the end of the month to pay all of that stuff. So like if you're doing the inventory and you're like, that's on the borderline, I'll just order it when you're the manager. When you're the owner, you're like, damn, do we really need that? I don't want to run out, but like I don't want to pay for it either if it's not necessary because it's my money. So it's like that's the real difference between being a manager and being an owner.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, when you're an owner, you know, especially when you're like a new restaurant owner, man, I mean, you know, whatever's in your bank account, that's all you got. Like there are a couple of lifelines, but you know, when you run out of money, you're done. So, you know, like the first year, man, I would go to the bank every night and deposit our deposit, like in the ATM. Like we opened this place by the skin of our teeth for sure. And, you know, it was just eye opening, man. But, you know, at the same time, man, I mean, like I said, I love challenges and it's just, it was a gigantic challenge and a lot of work, but, you know, we made it. I mean, for sure.
What do you remember what you did for sales those first couple of years?
Nothing. I mean, it was like a couple grand a week or so. I mean, you know, it got up pretty high. I mean, we got, you know, into the six figures, you know, by year two, you know, but I mean, it was nothing. I mean, now we do it like on a lunch service, like on a Saturday, what we did in a whole week back then, you know, I mean, it was nothing. I mean, literally it was nothing. I would send everybody home at 8 o'clock and I'd be the pizza guy and the phone guy and the everything. I'd mop, I'd clean the kitchen. 'Cause I had no budget for labor, you know, and I'd, I would every night, man, I'd be here till 1 a.m. rolling dough balls and mopping and everything. Cause I just, we didn't have a huge budget. We literally opened this place by the skin of our teeth. I mean, it was like our last.
It's fantastic now to tell that story and like listen to it looking back, but I'm sure it wasn't great in the moment.
No. And then looking back, I'm like, oh my God, what was I thinking? Like, I mean, luckily we opened up at a good time in our city where, you know, there was an opportunity and the city was kind of on an upswing and there was a lot of, you know, there's been a lot of explosive growth here since we opened. And we just, you know, it was good timing and, you know, we found a great location, but, you know, a lot of things kind of came together that, you know, were maybe outside of my control at the same time. So, you know, I'm just thankful that everything worked out.
How long was it before you became like made a salary? Did you make a salary in the first year?
Oh God, no man. Yeah, it was like a couple years, dude. It was 2 or 3 years, man. We lived with my dad, dude. We sold our house, sold our cars, put every penny we could into this restaurant with me and Jackie and our 6-month-old twin boys, moved into my dad's extra bedrooms and just buckled down. I mean, she had a job, you know, she was making enough money to pay like our basic bills, but, I mean, we literally, I mean, by the skin of our teeth, dude, literally. So and to grow and to fuel expansion and everything, you know, you need capital, man. I mean, I needed capital to market. I need capital to advertise. I need capital to, you know, the equipment we had at first was like all used stuff that was terrible. So I need to slowly upgrade that. So I spent probably a few years like really not earning money so that I could reinvest all that into the business and grow. You know, I wanted to grow as fast as possible to get out of that rut, you know, and I sacrificed everything I could to get there. You know, and then once we started, you know, with selling product and really had some foundation, then I, you know, was able to take a salary and buy a house again and everything like that.
But that's the investment you make, especially in a brick and mortar. I mean, back then there was pop-ups in like food trucks, but I don't feel like they were as much of a thing as they are now.
No, there weren't. Like now we have some food halls and ways that people can kind of get on their feet without like a major commitment, but now we went the hard way for sure.
Yeah. Like now everybody has like a couple Gosneys or a couple Unis and they're like doing a pizza pop up and not that that's bad, but that's how they're funding their kind of way to scale up the business. They go from that to maybe a food truck to a brick and mortar. Whereas back in the day, it was like you either had a brick and mortar or you had nothing and you had to either scrape money by or figure out a way to open it as cheaply as you possibly could or borrow money to get your pizza shop open. Today you can start way differently and easier.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. There's like 2 or 3 big food halls now where you can go in and, you know, open up and, you know, with and a lot of chefs use that, you know, people that don't have huge financial backers, they'll use that to kind of get on their feet or their Uni thing is huge too. But yeah, unfortunately, they didn't really have a ton of that. I mean, Dunedin isn't a huge city and Clearwater at the time, you know, was still growing. So, you know, it wasn't a big thing around here back then for sure.
Yeah. But plus those two ovens, like the Uni and the Gosney, kind of pigeonholed you in the type of pizza that you can make.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I tried doing off premise a little bit with the Unis and it was tough. They just don't have the BTUs to like do like high volume. And, you know, it was a lot of work, you know, when you're used to, you know, baker's pride ovens, you know what I mean? Something with like 20,000 BTUs. So, it was actually more work to cook pizzas like that because you're battling the heat the whole time and trying to rig the thermostat to heat the ovens back up without burning them. It was a lot. I ended up stopping that because it was just too much.
I mean, I know that from like, if I have a party in my backyard and like my family comes over and I'm like, Jesus Christ, I'm not doing this. I would never want to do this for a living. And I'm only making like 10 pizzas in the Uni and a Gosney. I'm like, this is stressful. And like, nobody's paying me money. They're just here to have free pizza. They don't care. And I'm stressed out.
Yeah. Yeah. But it, you know, hey man, people are making it work out there, dude. And like I said, man, I got love for everybody in the business out there grinding and making it, you know, Yeah, I don't know, man. People get so weird about, you know, oh, the, you know, particulars about pizza and this is the right way. And everybody's, I don't know. Dude, I'll eat some Domino's, man. I don't care, man. You know, if you're out there grinding, man, you know, whatever your deal is or whatever your restaurant is, man, like, you know, you're using unis or you're using frozen French fries, like, you just get it, man. Like, you know, respect for that.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Listen, I respect you for owning a Domino's. I ain't eating that pizza. No offense.
We got two kids, man. And, you know, we'll go to birthday parties and they'll have like, you know, chain pizza. And they're like, you know, they obviously know what I do for a living. And they're like, oh, well, are you gonna
don't ask it? You. They'll say, come on, Sean, bring some pizza, man.
No, if it, you know, sometimes if it's too far or whatever. But yeah, it's, you know, everybody looks at me like, oh, are you going to eat the pizza? And it's like, yeah, whatever, man. give me a slice. I don't care.
Yeah, I always kind of pick on it. Like, listen, someone said it because I was like, oh, Costco pizza is gross. And I was like, because everybody just says to me, I think it's not so much that the pizza, like Costco pizza is gross. I think it's the fact that people way hype it up. And they're like, Bruce, I've never been to Costco in my life until recently. And they're like, you got to go get Costco pizza. It's the best pizza. You have to go get Costco pizza. And then I go get Costco pizza and I'm like, really? This is what people consider the best pizza in the world? Seriously?
You know, I don't know. Maybe I've never had Costco pizza, but I imagine it's probably really inexpensive and that maybe that factors into the you know, hype around it.
I think that's what it was. Like, it's cheap, it's convenient, it's right there. It's like similar to the franchise pizzas. Like, that's not the best. Like, it's never going to win a best pizza award, but it does its job, I guess, and it has its place for parties and stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, it's... Yeah, like kids, man, like, you know, an average kid doesn't care. You know, I mean, my large pizza, my 18 inch is like $20 now. I mean, you know, if you're buying 20 pizzas for a group of 7 year olds, like, you want to spend $20 on a large? Not always, you know.
Yeah, that's definitely the time and the place for that kind of pizza. The Domino's or Pizza Hut or Papa John's and stuff like that. That's what it's for. But. So yours is, I saw on your menu too, you have like a 32 inch pizza. That's pretty big.
Yeah. It's the biggest in Tampa Bay. I don't know how it ranks in the rest of the state. I think there's a 36 somewhere, but we can't fit 36 out the front door. So that's, basically when I was coming up with this pizza, I measured the front door with a tape measure and 32 is the biggest that goes out without tilting it. So,
I saw a video on your website of you carrying out the front door and it was like touching each edge of the door frame.
Yeah, it barely, I mean, there's like a half inch on either side, but we get it out and it's fun. I mean, we sold three of them on Monday. You know, we probably sell, you know, 15 or 20 a week, something like that, you know, mostly on the weekends. It's like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday thing for sure. But you know, it's fun. I mean, people get a kick out of it. It's the same price per square inch as our large. So it's not like we're charging a premium for it or anything, you know, it's fun and it's very dramatic. Like everybody underestimates how big it is. And so when it comes out, everybody's surprised unless you've seen it before.
Do you have people order it at the restaurant, like to eat in the restaurant?
Yeah, all the time. Yeah. I mean, I made two of them on Monday for dining customers. You know, it's, you know, a group of 15 people or 10 people or something like that, you know, and we break it down into quarters. So as long as it has the same sauce on the base, we'll break it down into quarters so that, you know, you don't get topping fatigue. You can order even four different specialty pizzas if you wanted. You know, I try and be flexible with it because it is expensive, you know, but yeah, it's huge. It's people love it, man. I mean, we deliver them, you know, we do an eating challenge where two people get an hour to eat a one topping 32, and that attracts a lot of people. That's actually we do that for charity. So the money that we receive from that goes to a local food bank.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and that's cool. We had a professional eater from Australia in here Monday night, and he ate the whole thing by himself, which was a treat. I mean, it's so crazy to watch somebody eat that much food. Like most people can't even get halfway through it. I mean, let alone the whole thing. So
have you ever tried?
No. It's it's a lot, man. I mean, it's a lot. It's like, you know, four 16 inch pizzas. So, you know, if you could eat two 16 inch pizzas, which I definitely can't, you know, it's, and even the professional eaters, man, I mean, they are struggling when they're done for sure.
Yeah. I mean, your regular large is 18, a 20 inch pie in my area is kind of like the standard here is 16 inches is a large pizza, and then like the extra large would be 20. And that the 20 inch pizza is pretty big. So I can only imagine a 32.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot of pizza, but it's cool, man. And you know, it's been great for marketing. I mean, you know, we've been on every news channel, every newspaper. I mean, you know, a significant number of professional leaders, like famous professional leaders, have come here and done videos and, you know, I don't know, all kinds of, you know, photos and stuff like that. I mean, it's gotten us a lot of free marketing. I mean, a lot of free marketing,
for sure. That's great.
Yeah.
Especially with social media now, I'm sure it's popular.
Yeah. Oh, of course. I mean, it's everything, man. I mean, social media, you know, trying to find, you know, these professional leaders might have 60 or 100,000 followers on Instagram, you know, so when they put something up, we get a ton of traction from it. You know, it's, you know, I'm always looking for ways to increase our brand awareness they're maybe a little different, you know? So, that's been a good one for us, for sure.
I mean, that's great. That's the name of the game, especially with, you know, you can obviously do paid marketing, which is fine, but if you can come up with ways that are like fun and unique for a way for someone to, you know that when someone comes in and get that pizza, they're going to share that with all of their friends because it's a unique novelty item that you can't get everywhere else. So that's like marketing right there. You know, you're going to get exposed to more people than who don't know who you are or possibly don't know who you are.
Yeah. And you know, it's, you know, over time, it's like the cost of marketing like that for us, you know, that goes down. Like, you know, if you're blasting out, you know, direct mail or, you know, sending, you know, I don't know, stuff in the mail, you're sending emails, you're printing it, you know, ads in papers and stuff like that. I mean, that just, you know, I feel like it's just, you know, it just grinds on, you know, over and over again, you constantly have to put that money out. But with the 32 inch pizza, there was a, you know, fair amount of initial spend kind of increasing brand awareness. But like once it caught on, now it continues to produce brand awareness and, you know, marketing value for us, but I'm not putting any more money into it. You know, you know, people are just coming in and ordering it and they're on their phones, you know, Instagramming it on their, you know, on their social media and it goes out. You know, I even had like inside our box, like we had custom boxes made for it. Inside the box on the inside, I had printed with our logo and everything because, you know, people get that shot where they open the box lid and they're taking it. So, you know, I had our logo and business information printed on the inside as well. So it gets that. So, you know, it's been,
that's smart.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you gotta really push it. You know, the pizza industry is so saturated, man. If you're not bringing fresh stuff to the table, somebody else will, for sure.
Definitely. Yeah. Where did you get those boxes made? Who makes those for you?
Local box converter. I mean, just a cardboard company that operates locally. It was a lot, you know, I think I had $5,000 into them before I sold the first pizza, you know, to get the cutting die and the printing plates and the initial order, you got to order them by the pallet, you know? So it's, you know, it's a lot, but, you know, I made that back quickly. I mean, we've gone through pallets and pallets of those boxes now.
That's great. What point of sale system do you use?
We use Thrive.
You like it?
Yeah. It's good, man. I mean,
sometimes I cringe when I ask that question, like if you like your point of sale system, because I don't know if someone likes their point of sale system and I don't want to like bash them if they don't.
No, it's cool, man. I mean, you know, it's definitely, you know, it's not as strong on the dine-in side as I would hoped, which wasn't an issue for us years ago. But now that we have a full bar and a big restaurant, you know, like Toast and all these other POS systems have very powerful dine-in tools. But you know, the Thrive guys honestly were up front with me at the beginning of that. When we first signed up with them, they told me that it wasn't really meant for dine-in, that it does dine-in, but it's not meant for it. But the delivery aspects of it are great. And the to-go aspects of it are great. It comes with pre-configured online ordering that just plugs right into our website. Like it's the stuff that I need it for really works well for sure.
And you just kind of manage you just deal with the fact that it's not great for dine-in.
I mean, yeah, it's good for dine-in. It's just not as powerful as like, you know, something.
What do you wish it did?
I wish that it's kind of clunky when it comes to like splitting checks and moving stuff around the restaurant and, you know, some stuff that takes servers like a lot of time. You know, if a server has to split a 15 top, they're struggling. They're struggling. Really?
Also, like if there's a 15 top and like there's three different checks they want to split the things into.
Yeah, stuff that's really time consuming for servers. And I was a server all through college, man. So I know their struggle. Like it's tough. I mean, it's tough, but you know, it is what it is. Like I, you know, at the same time we looked at Toast and we look at some other ones and they don't have the delivery functions that we need. So there's always a trade-off. There's never, I don't think there's one POS system that just has it all.
No, I've done 500 plus podcast episodes. And I generally ask for the most of them, like what point of sale system you use. And you know, there's the Thrive, Speedline, FoodTech, Toast, Aloha, like the main ones that people use. And everybody's like, I like it, but I like this, but I like that, but there's always a but involved. There's never like, I love it. End of story.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's got different needs, man, you know, and it's, I don't know. I've never developed software, so I don't know what goes into it, but I imagine like any software company is trying to balance priorities and needs and, you know, you just do the best you can.
Yeah, it's hard. I recently developed something software-wise, and it's not easy. And like, just to change the one little simple thing, you think is like, just change the thing. And like me, who's not a, you know, an engineer, is like, just change it. What's the big deal? Just move that over there. And they're like looking at me, like staring at me, like, do you know how much work comes into like just taking that and moving it over there? And I'm like, no. Like, there's so much code that needs to be written and moved around in order to just do that thing. So I've come to, you know, feel bad for those guys who are engineers, but that's what they like to do. They like to sit in front of the computer and just code things. But it is hard. That's why I don't think any, I think the majority of point of sales are, first of all, they're engineers and like computer people. They're not a pizza guy who created a point of sale system for a pizza restaurant. So they're coming at it from like a more computer perspective. So they're just like, all right, what does the mass need that we can kind of please everybody and not make it so hyper-focused for it, one restaurant. This is what one restaurant needs. Like, how can everybody be able to use this?
Yeah, for sure. And that, you know, actually one of the things I do love about Thrive is that they are really pizza focused. And so, you know, the onboarding and some of the support I get, like they're used to, I guess, fielding those kind of questions. So it's not so, I don't know. The support I get from them, you know, with us being a pizzeria, because entering a pizza into a POS system is way different than entering a cheeseburger. You know, you got half extra pepperoni, the other half light cheese, you know what I mean? And all the, I mean, the people get so extra with their pizzas. So, you know, Thrive handles that really well for sure.
How long have you had the full bar for?
Almost, about two years. It'll be 2 years.
This summer. What do you think of that? Do you enjoy that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it changed the whole restaurant, man. I mean, it changed the whole restaurant. I mean, obviously there's that thing that everybody says where, oh, you have a full bar, so you're printing money. And yeah, the margins on liquor are phenomenal, but, not everybody drinks beer and wine. We had a beer and wine license for a long time and not everybody drinks beer and wine. Like Jackie, my wife, might have a beer out to drink if we're out to eat.
Yeah.
But she might have two or three cocktails, you know, and she's, you know, certain people like liquor, certain people want to drink a margarita. So it allowed us to capture a bigger cross section of people that are going out to eat because they want to go somewhere where they serve liquor. So that's what I love.
Yeah. About. And it's probably more like variety too, right? Like beer, you like a certain kind of beer. That's kind of it. Or a certain kind of wine. You're not really like going to a pizza shop and being like, let me see your wine menu.
Yeah. I mean, it just opened it up to us, man. I mean, we get, you know, it's better for football season. It's better for everything. I mean, you know, I'm not going to go out and buy a Ferrari anytime soon for my liquor sales, but you know, it's, you know, people now will choose to come here for more reasons, you know, you know, it's given us more of a stable customer base, you know, rather than people just
come. Is the liquor more profitable than the pizza, like profit wise per item?
Oh God, yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, my bartender, you know, doesn't have nearly the amount of hourly rates or, you know, I mean, run it, you know, I could put two people behind the bar for, you know, a reasonable hourly rate and they can ring $5,000 worth of beer sales and liquor sales at 20% cost or 10% cost, where, you know, in the kitchen, I got, you know, the most expensive, you know, the highest paid people in the whole restaurant. And, you know, I got to have a prep guy all day, you know, prepping up veggies and cheese just to get through 2 hours of dinner service. Like, I mean, you know, the kitchen is you know, a lot. I mean, it's very expensive to run, where the bar costs almost nothing. But, you know, at the same time, like, I love cooking. So I never want to be just a bar. I mean, I have friends that own bars and they have no kitchen at all, and they make tons of money and they don't have to work nearly as much as I do, but that's not for me.
It's probably harder clientele too, right? Like, if you had just a bar, no food, it's a way different clientele than someone who's going to a restaurant to eat and have a drink or two.
Yeah. Yeah. You're waking up at 1 a.m. because the cops are at your place because some dude selling drugs in the bathroom and he just punched the towel dispenser off the wall. Like, no way, man.
Yeah.
I like being
sometimes you gotta take that risk and reward. Like, do I want to have, like, yeah, you'll make more money and more profit, but look at all the stuff that goes along with
it. Yeah, exactly. You know, there's a lot of baggage that comes along with owning a bar. And
what are you looking forward to? What's on the horizon for you guys?
Summertime, man. Summertime. It's like the best part of Florida, man. That from now until like August, it's everything's wonderful, man. It's weather's great. People, we're right by the water. We're literally, the water is directly behind us. So, the beach, the honeymoon island, and some of the other beaches are right here. So, our Saturdays and Sundays are just jamming. I deliver pizza on a boat all summer.
Do you really?
One of our customers has a house right behind us, and he has this lift that just holds little tiny boats. He wasn't using it for anything. So I bought a little Scout, a little 15-foot tiny skiff, and I use it to deliver pizzas on Saturday and Sundays, man. We go to, like, we have a bunch of islands that people sit out all day, and I'll go out there with 20 pies, and dude, I'll sell 60 or 80 pies like in a few hours easily.
That's crazy. Do they order them ahead of time, or you just bring them and then you know they're going
to
buy them?
It's a mix of both. You know, if they order ahead of time, it has to meet a certain minimum. But, you know, we do catering orders. Like, you know, there was an island party last summer where I don't even know how much food they ordered. I mean, it was a lot. I mean, a lot of food and wings and everything like that. And I made a dedicated run just for them. I mean, it was, you know, $800, $900, something like that. I mean, it was a lot of food.
That's fun. That sounds fun.
Yeah, so it's cool, man. And it's, you know, I mean, we're the beach. I mean, this area is all about the beach. It's all about the water. So, you know, spring, summer, that's when everything kind of comes alive. And, you know, winter for us is like hibernating, you know, and then summer is like, you know, reborn, you know, rebirth or whatever.
My friend, my business partner lives in Orlando, and I went down there in January, and it was like 60 degrees. And to me, in Boston, you know, 60 degrees is pretty warm in January, and he was like freezing.
Yeah. I mean, that dude, if it gets down to like 30 or 40, which it does very rarely, that's like, oh, it's the worst. I'm breaking out the Carhartt and I'm, you know, pants and Jackie's putting two layers or three layers on the boys. I mean, it's a lot. I don't care how hot it gets. I'm 100 yards from the ocean. You know, I'll find a way to cool off. Like, I, you know, I'd rather have that than cold any day.
Exactly. That's awesome. Well, Sean, this was fun. Where should people go check you out? I was just looking at your website. I believe it's let me see here. What's your website?
MadisonAvPizza.com, or, you know, we're on Instagram, Facebook, Madison Avenue Pizza. Any of those places would be fine.
We'll link all that up in the show notes too. MadisonAvPizza.com. Sean, don't go anywhere yet, but I appreciate you joining me on the podcast. I enjoyed the conversation.
Yeah, it was really nice. Really nice chat with you, man. Thank you.
Once again, thanks to Sean for joining me on the podcast. Thank you for listening. If you haven't yet, leave me a review. Stay tuned for SPM Magazine, which is launching next week if you're listening to this podcast when it comes out. If you are listening to this in the future, which many people do, they find the podcast and they go back and listen to the archive, go to smartpizzamarketing.com. Click on the magazine link. We're going to be doing one every quarter. It's not a monthly magazine because I don't think there's enough content that's great to put in a monthly magazine. And I feel like we'll be rushing all the time just to get content out there, and maybe it won't be as great. So when it's quarterly, we can take our time.
We can make sure the articles are good. Not good. They're great. They're helpful. And we don't have to feel like we're under the crunch all the time. Plus, I mean, I feel like a monthly magazine is just overdone. There's too much out there. So go check it out. The magazine will be out March, June, September, and December. That's what our 2024 calendar is for the launch of SPM Magazine. Really excited about that. Thank you all who have supported us and shared it. Very much appreciated. Hit me up on Instagram if you want. Smart Pizza Marketing. Thank you so much for tuning into the podcast. I hope you had an amazing week. If you have a question, don't hesitate to reach out. I would love to hear from you. See you guys.